The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Toldos. In this week's Parsha, the Torah tells us about Yitzchok and Rivka giving birth to two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is the one who was destined to become the perfection of all manhood and the perfection of the Ovis, of the patriarchs. There was first Abraham, Damud HaChesed, the pillar of Chesed, loving kindness. He was from the right. Then there was Yitzchok, the pillar of Gira and Din, who was the Amud, the pillar of serving the Almighty with fear and awe, and he was to the left side. And then Yaakov states, Ishtam Yeshiva Olim. Ishtam means Shalem, perfect, who dwelled in the tents of Torah. This was the Amud HaTorah. Kudi Hashem Yishorim and Teres Hashem Kemimo. Perfectly straight, not to the right, but to the left. And the Chazal tell us that the image of the face of Yaakov is Choku Kalkisi Yaakovet. He's shewed out on the throne of the Almighty. And Yisrael is named after Yaakov. We are called the Bnei Yaakov or Bnei Yisrael. Yisrael was the second name that was given to Yaakov. And we see even further, later on in Parshas Vayishlach, Lamed Gimel Pasuk Chof, the Torah tells us, Vayatzev Shom Mizbeach Vayikra Lo Keil Elokei Yisrael. And Yaakov made a Mizbeach and he called it the Lord, the God of Israel. It's a whole discussion. What did he call? Who called? Did he call the altar that? The Gemara tells us, Rashi brings it in his last explanation, that Hashem called Yaakov, Keil, Lord. And he said, I am the Melech Elyon, I am the God in the upper worlds, and I have made you the Lord of the lower worlds. In other words, Yaakov was the ultimate perfection of man, and through him came the promise to Avram and Yitzchok that the seed would be a nation that will bring perfection to the world, and Nivrechu Becho Kol Mishpachei So Adoma, all of the families of the earth will be blessed through you. This was fulfilled in Yaakov and his children. This was Yaakov. From the other perspective, we see Esav. Esav was to become the mighty nation of Edom. They gave him the name Edom. Edom means red. And the Medrash tells us on Esav and on his nation of Edom that when the Almighty created the world, and the world in the beginning there was emptiness and voidness, to home there was depths, endless depths, Zu Edom. This refers to Edom. Ma tahom zu ein lecheker v'seif. Just like these depths have no end, and we cannot comprehend them. Kach ein cheker v'seif lemalchus arashor. So will there be no end to the depths, and we cannot comprehend the evilness of the malchus arashor, of the great empire that will come from Esav. And the prophet Daniel when he had a dream and he saw four chayos mishunais verohus, four monsters come out of the sea, and each one represented one of the great empires that would stand up to conquer the world and to conquer Israel. He saw three on the first night and the fourth on the second night. Omar Rabbi Yechanan is there to teach us that the fourth is equal to all of the other three in their evilness and in their destructive powers. And this is Edom, the empire which is to come from Esav. So these were the two sons that were born to Yitzchak and Rivka. And therefore one can be temea, one can certainly be puzzled. How was it possible that Yitzchak Avinu should make an error where he chose Esav instead of Yaakov? He loved him more, and he wanted to give him the brachas. Secondly, if he did make such an error, states Rivka, or Heves is Yaakov. Rivka loved Yaakov. Why didn't Rivka make this error also? The third question, when Rivka came and intervened and she sent Yaakov to steal the brachos from his brother Esav and to deceive his father Yitzchak, so what should have been is when it became known to Yitzchak this conspiracy, he should have been very, very angry, because an awful lot depended on these brachos and he had chosen Esav. And instead, once he found out about it, he said, Gam Boruch Yia. Then let him be blessed. With the bracha so light that he wanted to give them to Esav, and if Yaakov stole them, so then they should belong to Yaakov. As if Ein Bekach Klum, as if there was nothing to, no significance on these brachas. And all of these questions take on even greater weight when we see what the Vilna Gaon and the Maral Miprag write about these brachas. The Vilna Gaon, in his Pirush, his commentary on the Chad Gadyo, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, he writes as follows: Klal Godel Etzleinu. This is a great principle by us. Shekol HaTovos Shehoyu. All of the goodness which was, Ushiyah, and which will be further, Ode, Bein Be'olam Hazeh, Bein Be'olam Habo, whether in this world or next world, all of the goodness which comes to Klal Yisrael in the past and in the present and in the future, in this world and the next world, as Kulam Yorashtu B'Aveisenu, all of this we inherited from our fathers, B'Eish Shebirach Yitzchak Es Yaakov, from the brachas which were given from Yitzchak to Yaakov. The lulei habrachas, and if not for these brachas, these blessings, chosarnu es hakol, then we would have lost everything. Shoyu hakol le'esav, everything would have gone to Esav. And then he writes further that these were the brachas that Yaakov eventually gave to Yosef. But we see, we're not dealing here with a bracha be'alma, we're not dealing here just with some type of blessing. But where the Gaon says, Kol HaTovos, all of the goodness that Yisrael has in this world and the next world, Kulon Yorashnu, we inherited all of this from Yaakov, when Yitzchak gave him the brachas. And if not for this, then we would have lost everything, because it would have all belonged, it would have all belonged to Esav. the Maralmi Prague adds, he says, the reason why the hand of Esav has so much power over Yisrael in this world is because Yaakov loved Esav. Excuse me, Yitzchok loved Esav, and he wanted to give the brochas to Esav. And when Yaakov did take the brochas, they were taken by Mirma. They were taken through deceit, and Yitzchok, his father, at the time he was blessing Yaakov, he thought it was Esav. So he did not give them to Yaakov, believe Sholem, with a full heart. Had he given these brochas to Yaakov with a full heart, and his favor would have been to Yaakov and not to Esav, then Esav would not have any power over us in this world. So here we see further the strength of these brochas. The whole destiny. These were the brochas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham. Lech lecho me'artzecho me'laretecho. Ve'avarchecho, I will bless you. And he gave him these brochas. Then again he confirmed these brochas at the Akedah, when he was offered Yitzchok. Yan asher emantubi. Because you have believed in me, I shall make you and your seed a special nation, as mighty as the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea. And these were the brachas which Abraham gave to Yitzchok. So how was it possible that Yitzchok was willing to give all of these brachas, the whole future of Israel in the world, into the hands of Esav? The first principle we have to understand in order to penetrate a bit into this parsha is that we should not think, heaven forbid, that Esav was a small person. To the contrary, just like Yaakov, we said, was a giant. He was an enormous individual, an enormous personality with untold qualities. Esav also, and perhaps even more. Many times in the Torah it is referred, Yitzchok and Rivka refer to Esav as the Achicha Godel, the older brother, and Yaakov as the Achicha Koton, the smaller brother, the younger brother. And it's mashma, implies from the Medrash, that not because Esav was older, after all they were twins, so one might have been born an hour before the other. You don't always, on twins, you don't say that this is the big brother and this is the small brother. But they refer to the two because this is how they were in the eyes of the people. They saw greatness in both, enormous greatness in both. But they saw even more greatness in Esav than in Yaakov. The Medrash brings in Parshas Tolus, Samech Hevov, Vayikra es Esav b'nei Agodl. Yaakov called to Esav, his greater son, his older son. Kach Oviv Kere Yisei Godl. His father called him the Godl, the older son, the bigger son. Imai Kora Yisei Godl. The mother called him the greater son. Shenemar Vatikach Rivka as Bigde Esav Beno HaGodl HaChamudes. Rivka took the garments of Esav, which belonged to her greater son, the precious garments. Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Im Beinechem Hu Godl, if in your eyes he is greater, Beinai Hu Koton, in my eyes he is smaller. Shenemar Hinei Koton Nesaticho Begoyin Bozu Yatomi Od. You know, Vadya, Aleph, when there's a prophecy for Esav, it states, Koton Nesaticho Begoyin. I gave him to the nation, someone very small. Now, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? If in your eyes he's greater, in my eyes he's smaller. But they were calling him bigger because he was born first. Not so. Esav was always called Ochicho HaGodl because in the eyes of everyone, he was greater than Yaakov. Just as Yaakov had enormous qualities, so did Esav have enormous qualities. And people saw greatness in Esav which exceeded that of Yaakov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if in your eyes he's greater, in my eyes he's smaller. Yaakov is greater. So the first thing we must understand is that he was not what we would call second rate or second class whatsoever. But we're dealing here with gigantic individuals, people of enormous qualities, of greatness. A proof of this. Let's see who came from him. From Esav came Edom. And came Alufim and Malochim Gedolim. If we look at the end of Vayishlach, there the Torah lists off the descendants of Esav. And they weren't people. They weren't merely men. They were Alufim. They were kings. Powerful kings. And powerful nations and empires. 10 of them are listed. The Eile Shemos Alufei Esav, Aluf Timno, Aluf Alva, Aluf Yeseis, Aluf Olivomo, Aluf Elo, Aluf Pinon, Aluf Kenaz, Aluf Taimon, Aluf Mitzor. And then finally it states Aluf Magdiel. The 10th is Magdiel. And after that one more is listed, Aluf Irom. Elo Alufei Edom. These are the kings that came from Esav, who is Edom. And the 10th is Aluf Magdiel. And Rashi says, Magdiel Hiremi. This was Rome. And the Maral in the Gorai brings, what does the word Magdiel mean? Godl Kel. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises it up. That kingdom of Rome that came from Esav reaches enormous heights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it to reach enormous heights. And he says even the word Romi, we know it as Rome, this is a Hebrew word, Romi, he says comes from the word Yisraimimus. Yisraimimus means HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed it with Yisraimimus, with greatness and power. The Pirkei de Reb Lezer he brings, the Medrash from Reb Lezer HaGodl, says that Aluf Magdiel is the 10th. The 10th is always the greatest. What is Aluf Irom that follows it? He says that's also Rome. Rome was called by both. Why Magdiel v'Irom? Magdiel means Migdol. Migdol means a great tower. And Irom means a great city. Because Rome will have the greatest cities, alo oretz, in the earth, and the greatest towers that will reach to heaven. And therefore it is called Aluf Magdiel and Aluf Irom. And the Maral brings, we see, that this kingdom was nispashet lechol oretz. It spread through the entire land with cities and with towers that reached heavens. From Rome came the whole European civilization and culture, which was the prominent civilization of the world for the last 2,000 years. And from Europe came the whole West, Western civilization, Western technology, Western industry. So we can't say that all of this came from someone that was of inferior quality or second rate. The fact is, when Rivka was having all of the problems of childbearing by Yisraitzitzu, enormous turbulence, she went to find out what's happening. She went to ask to the Beis HaMedrash of Shem Be'Eber, the descendants of Noach, Vayimer Hashem lo. And Hashem said to her, a prophecy came back to her through Shem Be'Eber. He said, the reason why you're having so much problems is because this is not a normal childbirth. Shnei goyim bevitneich. He said, these are not two children, these are two nations in your womb. And then Rashi brings goyim chosar. Goyim is written without a vav. So you can read it as geoh, geim, which means Loshen go'oh, go'ei go'oh, nobility and aristocracy. Not just two plain nations, but two of the noblest and most aristocratic nations that the world will ever see are in your womb. An example the Gemara in Avodah Zarah brings, Rashi brings from Avodah Zarah Yud Aleph, for example, Antinonis Verebi. During the time of the Mishnah, the leader of Yisrael was Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anossi, Rebbe Yehuda the prince. And the leader of Rome was Antinonis. As it was, they were very, very good friends. They had enormous powers and untold wealth. And shalei posko miyau shulchonim leitznein velei chazeres leibimei sachama veleibimei sakshomi. And they were so aristocratic that not only were they kings, but they lived like kings. That it never ceased from their tables. In the summer or the winter time, fresh vegetables. Now today we have refrigeration with freezers and instant travel. In those days, to get fresh vegetables in the winter time was almost an impossibility. They went without a day. The Maral explains, it doesn't mean to say that they lavished themselves in luxuries. That's not a greatness. Anybody with money, and he can be from the lowest of the people, he can be what we call a payer, from the lowest of the people, a scoundrel. He could be a bum, can lavish himself in luxury. That's not what is bringing out. He says luxury is not, it brings snaim v'chazeres. Luxury is not radishes and lettuce. But he's bringing, it's chashivus. nobility and aristocracy. It's like Abdul, they wrote on some of the Baron Rothschilds that they would have fresh orchids flown in every day for their table. This was a kingliness. So that's what is meant. He said, Shnei Goyim. First of all, they're not regular children. These are nations. And these are very, very noble and aristocratic nations. Ushnei le'umim. And they're le'umim. Le'umim does not mean a nation, but an empire. These are empires that will want to rule the world. But they, once they are born, they will go in different directions. They will not go in the same direction, but they will constantly be against each other. And one empire will take its strength from the other. Malku mi malku yiska. So Rashi brings la yish bi bigdula. You'll never find both ruling at the same time. Kishezeh comes an eifel. When one will be up, the other will be down. The other will be up, this one will be down. And this is what it states, la nismalet sur el mechur bono shel Yishalayim. The cities of Esav will be in their splendor when Yerushalayim is in ruins. And when Yerushalayim is in its splendor, then the cities of Esav will be in ruins. V'rav Yaveh Tzo'ir. And in the end of days, the older one will yield and serve the younger one. So there, we see further. We're not talking about people at all of second or third rate, but both of them had exceedingly great qualities and were great in their own right. Now this, that Esav was to become such a rosho, such an evil person, where he would be hated throughout the entire world, not only by Yaakov but by the world. As we see, some of the greatest monsters came from Europe. Some of the greatest enemies of mankind came from the European culture. This was not because he was destined to do so. Don't make this mistake, heaven forbid, that Esav was destined to be a rosho. This was from his choice, from his bechira. And cholila leimar, heaven forbid to say that it was decreed. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't decree on any individual im tzadik im rosho, if he's going to be righteous or evil. This was totally from his own choice. And the same with Yaakov. Heaven forbid that it was decreed on Yaakov that he would be righteous. And what is the greatness of Yaakov? If this was decreed on him, the greatness of Yaakov was that he made himself righteous. He chose to be righteous. Just like Abraham and Yitzchok. This was all from his own doing. Even though Yaakov was born with all-encompassing qualities, Esav also was born with all-encompassing qualities. Yaakov was born with good qualities. Esav, we see, had bad qualities. Like everyone else, everyone is born with good qualities and bad qualities. Yaakov also. There's no human being that was born only with good. That would mean that he's the perfect person at birth and he has no yetzer hara. It's impossible. These are all predispositions. People are born with qualities. These qualities can be utilized the way they see fit. It's given over to mankind to do what he wants. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except the fear of heaven. That's left to the person. An example. Medrash brings in Samech Gimel, Oshur Aleph. Vayetzi Arishain Admoni. The first one came out and he was red. He was a redhead, ginger. So the Midrash says, this is a simon of a shefech dam. It's a sign of shedding of blood. Very good. We see at birth, Esav was meant to be a Reitzeach. He was meant to be a murderer. This is just the opposite of what we're saying. He was born a ginger, Admoni, all red. That's a simon, a shefech dam, a sign of a murderer. So, kach nigzor mitchilas leidah. This is what was decreed from the beginning of his birth. The Midrash says, and it came out like that. It came out that he became the world famous murderer. The Midrash brings when Hashem sent Shmuel Hanovi, to choose who will be the king of Israel after Hashem didn't want Shaul, King Saul, to be anymore. So he sent him to the house of Yishai. He says, there one of the sons will be. And he looked at each son, and Hashem said, no, it's not this son, not this son. Finally he asked, don't you have another son? He says, yes, I have another small son. They brought him out, Dovid. Vayishlach vayibehu v'hu admeini. And when they brought him out, he was a ginger, red-headed. Nishyore, Shmuel. He became afraid. He says, an Esav. Af zeh shefech domim ke Esav. Is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Melech Yisrael? He'll be a shefech dom like Esav. And he didn't know what to do. Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Pasuk says that he was an Admoni, he was red hair, very beautiful, im yafei naim, with beautiful eyes. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, he has beautiful eyes. What's the beautiful eyes? Esav midas atzmai hu heirig, avol ze midas sanhedrin hu heirig. The yafei einayim, the most beautiful eyes, are the einei ha'edo. But the Torah tells us the eyes of the community, the eyes of the nation. Who are the eyes of the nation? The Chachomim, the Sanhedrin, the great court, because the eyes lead a person, has vision, they led the people. It says, sure he's a Shefech Domim, David. David is going to be a great Shefech Domim. David was from the greatest warriors that we ever had. But he will be a Shefech Domim, he will kill only with the permission of the Einei Ha'edo, with the eyes of the Sanhedrin. Esav, he turned out to kill Midas Atzmoy when his own eyes told him to do so. Now here we see. Esav was born with a quality and David was born with a quality. Esav was born with the quality of Shfichas Domim, to be a bloodshed, and David was born with the quality of bloodshed. Esav became the great Mashkis, the great destroyer of humanity, and David became the builder of humanity, both with Shfichas Domim, both with bloodshed. The Navi tells us they used to sing on Shaul, King Saul killed thousands. David killed tens of thousands, but enemies of Hashem. Sure, he was born Admoni, but what does that mean? That's like any other quality that man is born with. It depends how he's going to use it. From what we're saying now, we understand that the Gemara in Kedushin says Esav was Yisrael Mumar. Calls Esav a Yisrael Mumar. A Yisrael, a Jew that rebelled against his Jewishness, against being a Yisrael. And Yishmael does not call him a Yishmael, the son of Abraham. Doesn't call him a Yisrael Mumar. He wasn't a Yisrael at all. What does this teach us? It teaches us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that from Abraham will come Yitzchok, not Yishmael. Ki be Yitzchok yikore l'chazora. Yitzchok. In Yitzchok, though, he said, be Yitzchok yikore l'chazora. But they called Yitzchok. Your seed, Avram's seed, will go through part of Yitzchok, but not all of Yitzchok. Which part? Hashem didn't say. It could have been Yaakov, it could have been Esav. The choice was in their hands. They both were capable. And therefore, Esav also was considered to be a potential Yisrael. Through Yitzchok will the seed of Abraham carry on, but through part of Yitzchok, which part? It depends on them. And Esav had the qualities. And he was the Bechor, he was the firstborn. So there's no reason why it shouldn't have carried on through him. This, that he became a Rosho, and the other became a tzaddik. This was all through their own doing. Like tzaddik verosho, to be righteous or evil, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene with. That is left to people. So that's the first principle we have to understand. That heaven forbid, we're not dealing here with someone that we would say would be a reject from society, or a bum, or something like that. So we're dealing with very, very, very great people. A second principle. Still, but the father Yitzchok should have, after it states, till they were 13, couldn't tell the difference between the two. But once they became the age of Bar Mitzvah, then they started to go in different directions. Why didn't the father Yitzchok recognize this? You could see who's going in the different directions. Who's going in the wrong direction? A second principle we have to understand is one of the reasons why Esav was so close to his father Yitzchok, and the same thing vice versa. As it states, Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav. Yitzchok loved Esav. Ki tzayid b'fiv. Tzayid b'fiv, Rashi brings, because he would bring what he hunted to the mouth of his father Yitzchok. He would bring him food, he would bring him meat. What does this mean? He would serve him. That seems sort of shallow. No. The way Esav served his father was with a true greatness. Medrash tells us, 1st and Samach Gimel Tesvov, what does it mean by Yayav Yitzchok as Esav Kitzayid Befiv? Yitzchok loved Esav because he would bring his hand to his mouth, Kupra Taba Lepume Vekaso Taba Lepume. The best meat that he would catch, he would bring for his father, and the best wine he would bring for his father. And then the Medrash tells us a little further in Samachei Yud Beis. Rivka, when she wanted to send Yaakov to steal the brochos, so Yaakov said, but my father will feel me, and he'll feel that I'm not Esav. Esav was very, very hairy and rough-skinned. So Rivka said, I have Esav's clothing here, and I'll put them on you. And they were made from animal skins, and you'll feel like Esav. So Rivka took the big day Esav beno hagodla chamudais. She took the clothing of Esav, the chamudais. Chamudais means very valuable and precious clothing. These clothing, what were they? Mashachoman min Nimrod, Moharoige. These clothing were Nimrod's, Medrash tells us. Esav killed him, and he took these clothing. Where did Nimrod get these? These were the clothing that Hashem made for Adam and Chava, the first man and first woman. And Nimrod, they ended up by Nimrod. Now Esav had them. What were they doing in Rivka's house? He had plenty of wives. Why didn't he keep them there? Two reasons are brought. Rashi brings one reason, because he didn't trust his wives. Now, we're not speaking about just plain suits, even if they might be of the height of fashion. We're speaking of the big day achamudais, of the clothing which were created for the first man and woman. So these were very, very, very valuable. And therefore, Esav didn't trust his wives with this, and he kept them in his mother's house. But the Medrash has another reason. Rashi brings that one, but the Medrash has another reason why he kept him in his mother's house. He kept him in his mother's house so when he would come and serve his father Yitzchok, he could put them on for him. When he used to come and bring this meat and this wine to his father, he used to put these clothing on. Now why? Why couldn't he put on other clothing? If he wanted to dress up, so he could put on the latest fashions. Why these clothing? Because Esav looked at his father as a great and mighty king. And therefore, he wanted to serve him as one serves a great and mighty king. And he wore his best clothing, the big day hachamudas. Omar Reb Shimon Gamliel, the great Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, said on this, Kol yomai hayisim mishameshes oviv. All my days I served my father. Bele shimashti esay echod mimeo sheshimesh esav es oviv. And I still did not serve my father 100th of the degree that Esav served his father. When I used to serve my father, I used to cook for him, or I used to bake for him, or whatever I would do, I would serve him with the clothing that I had on in the kitchen. In the kitchen, you don't wear good clothing. When I would go out to meet people, then I would put on nice clean clothing. Esav Esau, when he would serve his father, he would put on Bigdei Malchus, clothing of royalty. This is how he would serve his father. Omar, he said, Ein kfeide shel abo liyes mishamshe ele be Bigdei Malchus. It does not behoove the honor of my father, this is what Esau said, unless I serve him in clothing of royalty. And therefore these clothing hadol deksiv asherito babais kamonoshim hoyo levat amre asherito babais et laviyoda mayov dayo. Therefore he kept this clothing in his mother and father's house, because this is what he used to serve his father. So when we say Tzayed Befiv, Yitzchok loved Esau because he used to bring him meat. No, it wasn't simply that shallow. Because there was no one in the world that ever served a father like Esau served his father. The great Moshim Gamliel said, he says, all of my days I served my father, but I didn't come to 1/100th of the kibbut that Esau gave his father. It's strange that a person like Esau should excel so much in this mitzvah, and especially that the great Tano, the great rabbi of the Mishnah, Moshim Gamliel, in this mitzvah bettered him by 100 times. And a Gentile is not even mitzvah, he's not commanded in the mitzvah of Kibbur Avim. It's not one of his 7 mitzvahs. We find the parallel to this. The Gemara in Hiddushin and Av Lamed Aleph Sholo Les Reblezer Ad Heichon Kibbur Avim. They asked the great Reblezer, how far must one go to serve, to be fulfilled the mitzvah of Kibbur Avim, of serving your mother and father? So he said, Siuru, he says, I'll tell you a story. Odom Akum, there was a Gentile man, Vidima ben Nesina Shmai, and his name was Dima ben Nesina, Oyeb Ashkelon, and he lived in Ashkelon. And there he relates a story how he served his father. A number of stories are brought on him. How he passed up deals which would have brought him millions and millions and millions of rands profit, merely because he did not want to disturb his father while he was sleeping to ask him for the key to the safe. And later on in the Gemara, it becomes clear that this Dima ben Nesina was a Roman. So he was from the seed of Esau. And the Maral asks a good question. Why is it that we have to go to the Goyim, we have to go to the Gentiles, when they're not even commanded in the mitzvah of Kibbur Avim, to learn Kibbur Avim? That's what they asked the Blazer. Ad Heichon, how far must one go? He says, I'll tell you a story. Akum Echod Hoyo, there was a Gentile man, Dima ben Nesina's name, that lived in Ashkelon. He says, Tzuru, learn from him. And how come Esau excelled so much? So the Maral explains why. The reason is the Gemara brings Gimel Shutfim Bodim, Gemara Masechta Nida, Dav Lamed. There are 3 partners in the creation of man: the Almighty, a father, and a mother. Each one contributes vital components in the creation of the embryo. Actually, from the fact that there are 3 partners, this is a miut. This minimizes the deen, the law of Kibbur Avim, of honoring your father and mother. Because if your father and mother, if there were only 2 partners, if they themselves created you, then you'd have to give your total respect to them. But from the fact that there's another shutev, there's another partner, you have to divide and share your respect between the three of them. So this is a miut. This minimizes the respect that you give to your father and mother. Further, what happens if it's contradictory? What happens that the respect that you owe to your father and mother is going to contradict the respect to the Almighty, and vice versa? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kfeidi Kvedim. He says, my respect comes first. Your father and mother tell you to do something, and I tell you differently. He says, no. He says, Kfeidi Kvedim. My honor and respect comes first. You listen to me. So you see, this is a minimization. It's a shutfis, it's a partnership in your respect. Yisrael, that sees very well the Gimel Shutfim, they see the three partners. They cannot give their entire respect to their mother and father, because they know there's another partner also that we have to give him respect to. But Esav was the mumar. Esav was the kofer. When Yaakov, when he came and he said, I'm hungry, I'm starving, give me some of that porridge. And Yaakov said, what will you give me in return? He says, what do you want? He says, I want the right of your first birthright. He said, what is that for? He says, that gives the one the right to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And that gives the person, he says, what will be for the Beis HaMikdash? He says, this will give you a life in the world to come. See, he answered, Loma Zelichai. What do I need the world to come for? I'm worried about the life here, not the world to come. You give me the food, which I need in this world, and Gesunte Hayn, you take the mitzvahs, you bother yourself with the next world. Mikan, from here the Gemara says, She'esav kofar, that here he denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tchiasameshim, he denied that there would be a life afterwards in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Esav and his seeds, they were kefrim. They saw two shutfim. In the creation of man, they saw only two partners, a father and mother. And therefore, Esav could give his total self to Yitzchok. Yaakov couldn't give his total self to Yitzchok. He saw Yitzchok as his creator, but he saw Yitzchok also had a creator. It was the Almighty. Therefore, he had to share. Therefore, as much as we can give honor to our parents, it's only 100th of the degree that Esav gave honor. And that's why the Romans were able to do better. There's another explanation, but it's the same. It's just a little deeper. The Maral brings. When the Gemara tells us in Masechta Nido that there are three partners, they don't all contribute the same. It states that the father and the mother contribute the physical necessities of the embryo. One gives the bone structure, and one gives the blood, and so forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributes the spiritual necessities, those qualities that are not physical, but those that are spiritual qualities, the breath of life, and so forth. So it comes out that the one who's giving this world, that's the mother and father. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he gives the next world. Esav, that his whole life was this world. He only saw them, his father. He didn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov, who saw more of the next world than this world, he was living, he was the spiritual giant, he always saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which again limited him to what he could not give his whole life for his father. And this is the Mishnah in Masecht Bamatzia Neila Matzius. It states, what happens if you find a lost article, the one lost article that belongs to your father, and another lost article that belongs to your Rebbe. Which one should you return first? So it says to your Rebbe first. Why? Because Oviv may be Ulidei Chaye Lamazer. Rabbi may be Ulidei Chaye Lamabo. Why do you have to respect your father? Because he brings you into this world. Then you owe greater respect to your Rebbe because he brings you into the next world, which is a greater world. So Yaakov, the Jew, anything he sees two worlds. So he sees he has to honor this world and the next world. And the next world's even greater. Esav sees one world. Therefore, he could give himself totally to his father. At any rate, because of this, there was an enormous bond between the two, between Yitzchok and Esav, which played a role in what we're saying. Then there's a third principle, another principle, because this is still not sufficient. Good, Esav was a great individual with great qualities, and there was an enormous kesher, an enormous bond between he and his father. Good, but still Yitzchok should have had the ability to see through this and to see what he was doing. Here it states that he did. He was a retzeach. He was a murderer. He was a shefich. He was megalarayis. He was an adulterer. He was aveirizor, idolatry. He did everything. Why did Yitzchok miss this? There's another principle. Kitzayid b'fiv. Yitzchok loved Esav kitzayid b'fiv. There's another interpretation, which Rashi brings. Not that he used to bring his hunting to the mouth of Yitzchok, but to the contrary, Yitzchok was fair game to the mouth of Esav. Esav used to hunt his father Yitzchok. Hunting. It's actually brought from the Shimshon of Pearl Hirsch. Hunting is deception. How do you hunt? Hunting is a game of deception. You go fishing. So you throw something in the water and you're trying to lie and deceive the fish. You throw them bait and you say, come, I'll give you something to eat. Meanwhile, you behind your back, you have your frying pan. It's a game of deception. You take the hunter who hunts to, he's hunting after an animal. He blows a horn. I know where I come from, there was a lot of moose hunting. They blow a horn that sounds like a moose. They deceive the animals, and then they shoot him. Or they had what they called in duck hunting. It was a lot where I come from. They had decoys. You had a decoy, something that looked like a duck. You put it in the water, and the other ducks would come down to see it. You've deceived them. Now you shoot them like sitting ducks. It's a game of deception. And it states that Esav ish yodea tzayid. Esav knew this game very well. He knew how to hunt. He knew this game. And Yitzchok loved Esav ki tzayid b'fiv, because Yitzchok ended up to be fair game in the mouth of Esav. He was a giant in deception and in remia and sheker, in lie, in falsehood. But in a particular type, in a particular way. Medrash says, how did he deceive his father? He deceived his father by portraying that he was a very, very righteous person and a very, very holy person. This is how he would deceive his father. He used to come to his father and he used to ask him questions that Yaakov would never ask. He would say, for example, salt. He says, you have to give maaser on it. Be like someone coming with a question on pure salt. is it kosher? You say, look, even by salt he's worried. Or he used to come, he wanted to know what was the deen in regards to certain things, in regards to straw and hay. His father used to say, my son Esav, he's a tzaddik. He's a medaktik b'mitzvahs. You see how careful he is with mitzvahs. The Medrash brings and the Pasuk later on in the Sedra in Chof Vov Lamedalad, it states Vayhi Esav ben Adboim Shona. Esav was 40 years old. Vayikach Isha Eshuhudis Basberi Achiti, and he went and he took two women to marry. Why did he do this when he was 40? It's interesting because at the beginning of our Sedra it states Yitzchok ben Arboim Shona Bekachdes Rivka. Yitzchok was 40 years old when he married Rivka. So Rashi brings the Medrash. The Medrash says as follows. The beginning of Parsha Samachay. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says Yechasemeno Chazir miYo'ar. The Chazir, the pig, the swine will come and devour. He will come out of the field and devour. Who is the Chazir? Esav. Esav is called the Chazir. Why Lomo? Because there are four animals that the Torah tells us are not kosher. In order to be kosher, you have to have two signs, a split hoof, and you have to be maligator to chew the cud, redigest the food. So you need two simonim, two signs to be kosher. One is a simon bachutz and one is a simon bapnim. One is an exterior sign and the other is an interior sign. One you can see and one you cannot see. All of the three other animals, camel, so forth, rabbit, they do not have the exterior sign. They do not have cloven hoofs. Therefore, they are not kosher. But the interior sign they have. The chazir is an exception. It has the exterior sign. It has split hoofs, but it does not have the interior sign, which means like this: all of the other animals you can spot right away that they're not kosher. The camel, you see his hoofs, you can spot right away, but the chazir you cannot spot so easily, because when you look at him he looks kosher. He has a split hoof, and not only that, he sits with his hoofs outward. Ru'u, look at me, Shani kosher, ani tohor. I am tohor, I am kosher. Lama hu maish le bechazir, ele ma chazir azeh b'shoshu revetz hu mafshid es talfov, klema shani tohor. Kach malchus arosho azeh, Zeus. So is it with Esav in his nation. We have many, many evil nations in the world, but they do not conceal the fact that they're evil, and certainly they do not try to communicate an image of righteousness and holiness. Not so with the Malchus HaRosho Azeis. Gezeles v'chemeses. They steal and they murder and they take other people's wives. And nira ki'ilu matzases habima. But they come into shul, they come into a church and they spread nice cloth over the bima to show that they are very, very righteous. This is the religion of the Romans, which Europe inherited. There was the time when Hitler was busy killing 6 million Jews. And the Pope, who brings righteousness to the world, questions were asked. What did he do? What did he say? And so on and so on. The Crusaders. That was a war fought in the name of righteousness. Yet some of the greatest inhumanities were exercised by them. This is Esav. Kach Esav kol mem shono tzod neshei anoshim umana eson. Esav for 40 years would hunt other people's wives, and he would kidnap them and abduct them. Kiven shehigia lemem shono, once he became 40 years old, he said, Abba, my father got married when he was 40. I also must look like my father. Therefore, he got married when he was 40. So Esav was a gaon. He was a genius when it came to hunting, when it came to deception, when it came to espousing an image of holiness and self-righteousness. In the we brought this in a shira not too long ago by the Brisbane Absorim. There it states that Avraham was taking the various animals, and it says he was taking a gazel. So the Medrash brings, gozel means a pigeon, but gozel also means thief. It says, Zu Esav, this is Esav. Why? Because he's a thief. The Maral writes, in the Medrash it says, even though the empire of Esav will be enormously great, and its reputation will go through the entire world, but inherently they are small, because everything that they will have of greatness will be stolen from someone else. And therefore they are called the Gozel, Shuhu Gazlan. V'zeh sod godol b'inyan Edom. And this is a great insight into Edom. Shu'uma p'chusa b'atzmo. That inherently, it's a very, very small, low empire. But we see it is so great, and they will spread from one end of the world to the other. Everything they have, he gazelles. They steal. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you might have called him Godel, the great one. I call him Kotten Ubizui. But to me he is very small. And it's very interesting, because historians write that the great Roman Empire was built on what they stole from the previous empires. What they stole from the Greek Empire, and what they stole from the Persian Empire, wherever they stole. The fact is, if you will examine all of their medicine and all of their technology, even going to the moon, you'll see it's all built on the foundations and fundamentals of previous empires. They didn't create, but they stole. And therefore our Gezel, it says, Zu Esav. Now, and there was a reason for this, because Esav made a deal with Yaakov. He said, "Look, Yaakov, you take the firstborn birthright. You can have the next world. I want this world." Esav was to become the master of this world. Yaakov of the next world. This world is known as the Olam HaChitzoni. It's the exterior world. This world is like a shell over a fruit. The shell is the outer part. The fruit is the panimi, the fruit is what's inside. The physical world is the shell for the spiritual world, for the spirit. Just like the body is the garment for the soul and the spirit that's placed in him. And chitzeini, exterior, that can always deceive a person, because you only see what's on the outside. That's why this world is called olam, from the word helem. Helem means nisalem, it conceals. What you see, you see it, but is it that way? The fact is, today one of the greatest plagues that's plaguing the Western world is sheker. It's lies and deception. Besides the crisis of ethics that they have, you have the media. The media is just a confrontation between these different forces trying to manipulate the so-called propaganda which is fed to people. And the media today is the strongest power in the world. Who controls the press? He controls the game. It's a game of deception. And this is the exterior world. The pnimi, what's inside, they shall never see. Yaakov, it states, was ish tam. Tam means, Rashi brings, kipiv kein liboy. His mouth and the heart were the same. The Gemara brings that there was once a great Tano where he made an announcement in his Beis HaMedrash. He says, "Call me she'ein teche kibarei." A person who is not teche kibarei, I do not want him in my Beis HaMedrash. What does it mean, teche kibarei? That his inside has to be identical with his outside. That what you see in the exterior, that's what you see in the interior. And what is in the interior is in the exterior. That's Midas HaTorah. That's the quality of Torah. That was Yaakov. Yeshiva Olim that dwelled in the tents of Torah. Esav was Yedeiah Tzai. He knew deception. He was a man of this world. This world is the exterior. The Olam, the Helem, what is concealed, and it also called Alma de Shikra, the world of lies. One of the descendants that was to come from Esav was Amalek. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that as long as Amalek is in the world, my name will never be known in the world in totality. And my throne will never be in totality. Because of the deception and lies and smokescreen that they bring into the world. So we're speaking here not of someone that just could lie. When the Torah tells us Yudeyat Tzayid, it means that he was the all-time master. And so his descendants will be. They will be to the ultimate of evil, but their image. Today we hear, you have to have an image. Their image will be to the ultimate of holiness. This will be Esau. It's interesting also we note that unfortunately, we're all affected by it. Because we live in, we're all soaked up with Western culture. And we put a great deal of emphasis on exterior images. What is known as chitzenius. There's nothing wrong with chitzenius if it's teche kibare. If the interior goes with it. But when the emphasis comes on chitzenius alone, this is what we see. I'll give you an example. When I was in yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshivas, this goes back, I came to yeshiva 40 years ago. And we had the great schools to learn by the original European Rosh Yeshivas. Or those that learn by them. Never did they place emphasis, did they tell us did they place emphasis on exterior. What did we used to hear? What were the terms? Terms you don't hear today. We used to hear a lot about Ehrlichkeit. That was a popular term. What does Ehrlichkeit mean? Sincerity. That's what we used to hear. As an Ernster, he's a sincere person. We used to hear Teche Kibare. What you see is what he is. Ehrlichkeit, we used to hear. Ehrlichkeit, what is that? In someone who's upright. He's an ehrlicher person, an upright person, a noble person, a person of integrity. These were the terms we used to hear. Frumkeit. Not only we didn't hear, it was spoken against in a yeshiva. It's Frumkeit. Ehrlichkeit. Never did a Rosh Yeshiva ever tell anyone what to wear, what color tie to wear, what color shirt to wear, what color jacket to wear, or what color hat to wear. Never. As long as you dress like a mensch. Says, darf sein a mensch? Did you dress nicely? Yes. But otherwise, no. There was no emphasis placed on these things. But enormous emphasis placed on Ehrlichkeit. Is he a sincere person? Ehrlichkeit, is he an upright person, a just person? A person of integrity. This is what we used to hear. Today you look around, it's just the opposite. The whole emphasis has shifted. You no longer hear about Ernst. Is he sincere? Or Ehrlich, is he Ehrlich? Don't hear that anymore. Teche Kibare, these things you don't hear. What do you hear? The image. Does he look like a Frumayid? That's what you hear. Does he look like a Frumayid? I remember once we hear Rabbi Loy gave us the privilege of speaking to us. It was a Shabbos Shuvah. So he was saying over from the, I believe it was a Shabbos Shuvah, he was saying over from from the Novi when, who was it? It was Elisha. When he came, he used to stay at a certain place, a certain house, a house of an Isha Gedola, a very great woman. And she told her husband that he's an Ish Kodosh, he's a holy person. And therefore we should treat him like one. We should make a special, we'll build on an attic and a room, and we'll make him his own room with his own table, his own bed, so when he comes and stays by us, he'll stay in comfort. So the Chazal asked, the sages asked, how did she know that he was an Ish Kodesh? That he was a holy man? How did she know? So they tried to figure out how she knew. So Rabbi Loy says, what's the question? You see. You can see how he's dressed if he's an Ish Kodesh. This is what Rabbi Loy said. See the way he's dressed and you'll see if he's an Ish Kodesh or not. He says, evidently the sages didn't like that answer. They weren't satisfied with that. And therefore they continued to probe, how did she know he was a holy man? Because Torah never placed an emphasis on Hitzenius alone, and that was exterior. That's Esau. That's his image. When it states Yotzu Tiva, the Gemara brings in Avodah Zarah, Tiva Yetze Misefe Elamat Sefe, his reputation will go out throughout the whole world. Tiva means his image will go out, like we see. Therefore, to the contrary, we see that the priesthood and the clergy that the descendants of Esau brought to the world This is what we see by them. Therefore, with all of this, he, Yitzchak, was deceived. Esav was of an enormous greatness himself. The bond between Esav and Yitzchak, because of the Kibbur Aveim, was enormous. The deception, and especially deception to show that Re'u Ani Tohor, like the Chazir, see I am Tohor, I am pure and holy, that was Esav. And then on top of that, he was the Bechor, he was the firstborn. And the firstborn rightfully gets the brochas. And therefore, Yitzchak had decided to give him the brochas. Rivka saw otherwise. We don't have time to go into detail why, but perhaps she had a hint from the prophecy which came to her, Rav Yahweh the Sawyer, that eventually the older one will serve and bow to the younger one. The Medrash brings that Kol Shahis Shumas Kele Hayam Somesefis Le Aval Al Avosai. The more she heard his voice, Yaakov's voice, the more she loved him. States HaKol Kol Yaakov. Could be the interpretation is Kol is the voice, not only speaking the Dibur, the speech, but the voice. But the Kol is the penimius of the person the Maral brings. It's the innermost part of the person. It comes out with Neshima, it comes out with the breath. Kodesh Baruch Hu blew into his nostrils. When you speak, the voice comes with his breath, especially the kol, the voice itself. And perhaps Rivka recognized more. She looked into the penimius, the innermost parts of Yaakov and Esav. At any rate, Yitzchok was going to give the brocha to Esav. When Yaakov went and stole the brochas, and then Esav came and said, where are my brochas? The Torah says, Vayechrad Yitzchok harode gdei lad meyed. Posig lamed gimel chob zayin. Yitzchok trembled with a great fear, ad mi'od, an exceedingly great fear. And he says, who is this that already came and brought me to eat, and I blessed him? The Medrash Tanchuma says, Rashi brings it. What was the harodo? He was afraid that he would inherit Gehenna. He said, because now I realize I gave the brochas to Yaakov, the younger one, and not to Esav. And Esav was the firstborn. And right by right, it must go to the firstborn. And he says, oi! Orvati al shuras hadin, I have transgressed, I have contravened what was right, and I gave the brochas to everyone that everything relies on this, like we said in the beginning of the shir. Then, when he told Esav this, he says, your brother came, and your brother stole your brochas. So Esav started to weep, and he said, Hachi Karosh Ma Yaakov. Now I know why they called him Yaakov. Yaakov means someone who grabs someone by the heel and trips him. Vayakveni Zeh Pa'amayim. He has tripped me twice. So the Medrash Tanchuma brings, when Yitzchok heard that, he said, what do you mean he tripped you twice? He says, he stole the brochas from me. All right, but what's the second time he tripped you? He says, he deceived me into... He says, "Pamayim es becherosi lokoch v'ine ato lokach birchosi." He deceived me into giving him my firstborn birthright. When Yitzchok heard that, he said, "What do you mean?" So he told him the story. He said, "You sold him your firstborn birthright." He said, "Then gamborach yeh, let him be blessed. Now I do not have to worry anymore, because he was the firstborn, and if he is the firstborn, then my right, it should go to him. So Gam Borach Yeh, let it be blessed." So we answer the three questions we asked. how was it that Yitzchok erred and Rivka not, and why, after he realized that Yaakov stole the brochas from him, he said, turned around and said, Gam Boruch Yia, let him be blessed, let the brochas go to him. And this gives us a good insight into Yaakov and Esau, which not only is past history, but this Edom is the fourth and final empire that states, that is stated, that will rule in the world until Yaakov finally comes through the Melech HaMashiach and will defeat him and bring back the crown to Klal Yisrael b'mheira b'yomeinu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.